Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowen, and Pastor Adam Mosier continue their discussion on Article 5 of the Formula of Concord, looking at law and gospel. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowen, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome back, guys. We are continuing to talk about law and gospel as we're looking at the Formula of Concord, Article 5. And guess what?
Oh, I was going to go there if you didn't remember.
Number 400.
400.
Yeah. 400th episode.
Yay. You guys looked at me like I was supposed to say something there. It's great.
And this is probably
my 186th with you, I think.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Maybe, yeah, that's a good question. Have you been on as many as Brian?
As Brian, I don't think so. How long did you go without Brian, though, when he left? And
not very long.
It was like 20 episodes in between.
Oh, right. Maybe. We're getting close. We should have a special. We should have a special episode when I surpass that, if I surpass that. We can have Brian on. We can talk about it. We can
Brian reminisce. Then his total goes up, too.
I'm going to have you transferred to Bob Jones University one episode before you would cross.
Bob Jones. Why Bob Jones?
That was the least likely.
Least likely place I'd want to go. No offense if there are any Bob Jonesers out there. But anyway.
Do you guys have any reflections on 400 episodes or anything you'd like to say about the podcast in general before we launch into the topic today?
I still think, 50 episodes was remarkable for what this project started out. I thought there was a remote chance we would finish the catechism.
Yeah, interesting.
Where
Jason has never lost that sense of pessimism that he brought into that first 50 episodes. Continue,
yeah,
Jason.
What else can you say? We've worked hard not to be obnoxiously self-promoting. We don't do any of the things that people who are trying to create a brand do, because we've never been trying to create a brand on this podcast. We literally started this so that our friends could have access to my Sunday school material. Yeah. And we get 15,000 listeners a month now.
Yeah.
All by word of mouth.
Awesome.
And it's where, this is numbered episode 400. Mm-hmm. This is about 425 for us total.
Yeah, if you take interviews.
All the time Flame's been on the show.
Yeah. Gene Veith,
Wade Mobley, oddly enough. That's a trio for you.
Yeah.
But this has already gone on too long for people who want to listen to the content, but just thank you.
Yeah.
We don't deserve your attention.
Right.
There's nothing else other than you have chosen to give us your time and your ears, and that's amazing to me.
When did you guys start? When was the first episode?
We're about a month away from year 9.
Wow.
Wow, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Was that at your church at Faith, Jason?
So the very first recording studio was in the conference room at Faith Free Lutheran in South Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's right.
And we spend the bulk of recording at Brian Rickey's home studio in North Minneapolis. And then this is our second studio on campus, the now official podcasting studio for FLBC Media Ministries.
Yeah, are we allowed to? Well, of course we are. They support us, right?
Yep.
So we can support them. So if you're curious on what the room looks like, we actually have a new FLBC podcast. I think you can search it as just FLBC podcast, and I think there's maybe a goal that we would have something more interesting. But you can see the room we're in right now. That'd be fun. Yep.
But you won't see us on video.
Well, you would,
you'll see Adam,
actually.
And you'll see me, and you'll in fact see Adam and me on video at the same time.
That's right.
Was my hologram ghost there too?
Yeah. We should have put a picture of Brett inside the glass globe.
You were there in spirit.
A cardboard
Brett.
Cutout.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, it's just what this is done in the kind words people have said.
Yeah.
The fact that we've been there for people who have been seeking the truth and people who have heard this and it's helped you. This isn't about bringing people into the Lutheran tradition at all. It's not intended to be a proselytizing podcast, but the literal dozens of people who have reached out to us and said thank you, this is our chance to say thank you back. It's I'm, mm-hmm. You know, as Adam makes fun of me for my pessimism, I'm proud to have done this project. I think it's great. I'm happy this is a thing. Yeah. And I, you know, the three of us are kind of known by this now. It's
It's weird. It is. Like, I've been places that that I have been, and you guys probably too. But I show up in these places. I travel quite a bit in my role. I promote the school and different things. I travel with some of the teams and ministries of the school. And I go out and somebody's like, I love the podcast. And honestly, like, this is such a like a small part of my life. Like, I don't, you know, I don't hear other than I'm in a room with you guys. You know, we get together about once a month and do four episodes. You know, that's about it. But I see you guys other times. So I forget. Like, people are like, I love the podcast. And I was like, which podcast? Is it Rogan or, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to catch up on my, on my podcast here in my mind. And I was like, oh, yeah, being Lutheran. And it was interesting to me how many people in those settings, like, really point to how it affected their, it impacted their faith in a profound way. Not just a kind of, oh, it's nice, it's fun to listen to, it's nice to, you know, hear while I'm sitting in the car or whatever. But, like, I never really thought of this, or this has been really helpful. Some of our listeners write in, we're answering questions fairly often. Yeah,
shout out to Bryce, who was the last one we did that for.
Yeah,
my church treasurer.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, also to Adam's mom, our faithful recurring listener.
Yeah, she's not listened to all 400 episodes. Well, maybe she has gone back, but
I've met at least two people who have listened through twice.
Really? Like the whole string of it?
They caught up to us.
Wow.
And because they didn't want to wait for an episode to come out every week, they started over and did it again.
That smacks of some version of penance. I don't know if that's okay.
Wow.
Stockholm syndrome. But so, this is 6.5 minutes of us talking about ourselves, which is 6.5 minutes more than we deserve to do on the air.
I'm glad we did this because it is fun to reflect and pause and you know, honestly, I wouldn't mind if we even had a whole, if we just kept going, but we don't have to. But I do think it's kind of neat, though. I will say this, that on this 400th episode, we're talking about law and gospel.
Yeah, better than 400 episodes for me, which is really only 186 or whatever, which is completely useless.
Four episodes of law and gospel.
Law and gospel. That's where I get out here.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Again, and better than we deserve, to quote Dave Ramsey.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I will say, too, you know, check us out on our website. I know Brian says this at the end of the episode.
But no one listens to him.
Yeah. I guess there's a little bit of truth to that. I mean, when I listen to other podcasts, I usually, you know, delete.
Fast forward
the last. But, you know, beinglutheran.com, you can find our website. And I'm just pulling that up here, too. And we don't really have, like, a contact. Well,
we have a contact. We did.
Contact us?
That is the greatest source of Russian spam we have, is the contact form. So occasionally Luke turns it off for us.
Do you know the Jason? We do have an email address, right?
It's on the contact form.
Yeah, right.
It goes directly to our email inboxes.
Got it.
So I don't want to give it out publicly because I don't know how these bots work. But beinglutheran.com, contact us. It should be the tab all the way to the right. You know,
if you want us to come speak at a conference that you have,
Where we are looking for the next host of the Being Lutheran Conference, which coincidentally we're also looking for the next patron of the Being Lutheran Conference.
So I mean, I guess I bring that up because if you want to get in contact with us, you can find us through our website. And if you have any questions, like Adam, you said, you know, we've had people give feedback or ask questions, and I think we're always, it's always delightful just to hear when people say, you know, love the podcast, and, you know, here's a question about this episode or about this topic in general. And so I don't think we say that enough to say invite that.
And maybe after 9 years, I will eventually be able to respond to love the podcast with something other than I'm sorry.
You know, the thing too, you know, not just, you know, writing in with questions. One of the things I've really liked is when people write in about their journey, maybe into Lutheranism.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. How did you end up in the church the way, you know, getting saved, but also, like, you know, I grew up in this setting and I found a home in Lutheran, you know, the Lutheran tradition. And I thought, you know, those are always fun to hear. There's not necessarily always a question there, but if you have that story, man, we'd love to hear it. It always encourages us.
Yeah. Great.
All right, Brett, well, recover, yeah. Recover us.
Yeah, let's get into
it. I'm going to have to not talk about myself for at least another decade after this.
Well, yeah, I think it's okay to every once in a while have that sort of thing.
Toot your own horn.
Yeah, and it's
That's what Jesus always said.
No.
Whenever you get a chance to toot your own horn, right, Brett?
No, I just think that it's. When you're making something like this, I mean, we could just get together and talk, but we do have microphones in front of us because we want people to listen and we want people to be blessed. And so I don't think there's anything wrong to say we want you to enjoy it and be blessed by it. So we have been talking about law and gospel here in the formula. And yeah, Adam, your favorite section in the formula. Just thinking about this, you know, we've talked about how the distinction of law and gospel has been key to just kind of untying spiritual knots in our lives and just putting things in the right place where we have a place of assurance. And we're going to define law and gospel here, hopefully briefly, but just thinking of this question of, is law and gospel, or this distinction, is this a central thing to the faith? Is this... justification is that core thing, but where does law and gospel land on that sort of question?
So I'm going to argue, because I know where Jason's going to go, and I don't agree with him, and I want to get the first word in. Usually I'm looking for the last word. I would argue, and I do with my students, I think that when you are seeking to understand the Word of God, the distinction of law and gospel is absolutely critical. And then you could argue that it might be the central distinction within Lutheran theology of the articulation of law and gospel. I don't think it's unique to Lutheran theology, but the proper articulation of it is a central part of Lutheran theology. And I would argue that it might be the distinctive that stood out to me. What do you think, Jason?
I'm going to maintain, as I have, that it's our understanding of justification by grace through faith that is the central thing. But we come to that by our understanding of
law and gospel. Yeah, right, yeah, so that's where I was going to go. I knew you might go there. You're going to go with justification by grace through faith. You're going to go to the cross, right?
Yep.
Is the central. And what I would argue, and maybe it's semantics, maybe it's not, but that's exactly it. It's how do you get to that understanding of justification being what it is, unless you understand that God speaks in law terms and God speaks in gospel terms. Yep. And until you understand that clear distinction, justification gets really muddled. Because justification really is a proclamation of law and gospel.
One is, and the reason why I go the way I go is that Paul wrote, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and instead of writing, I decided to know nothing among you except the proper distinction of law and gospel. And so I feel pretty comfortable with that assertion. But it's the law...
But isn't the proclamation of Christ and him crucified...
Well, it's... Law and gospel. Law and gospel is the language God speaks.
Yeah.
And so when he delivers to us the foundational truth that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ, he's communicating to that to us in the words of Scripture via the language of law and gospel.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so it's a mode, it's a method, and the problem we run into is that for some traditions, like Adam said, other traditions have law and gospel.
Right.
They've got this distinction, or you know, the Calvinists will try to make the covenant of works, covenant of grace be the same thing.
Sin and grace.
Yeah, it's not
they're not exactly the same thing.
But for other hermeneutic traditions, or hermeneutical, I don't know, law and gospel is one interpretive option.
Hmm.
And so law and gospel might be appropriate here, but it might be some other paradigm. It might be some other structure. And as Lutherans, we have to constantly maintain that when you read the words of Scripture, you're reading law and gospel. This is where Luther latched.
Like when you say it's a language, it's like saying we're talking in English. Is that kind of how...
Well, that's you and I. Yeah, we're communicating in English, and so the Luther taught that law and gospel comes from 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly handling the word of truth, and rightly dividing. Modern translations handling. Luther translated in the German dividing, and what it means is that any time you're chewing on Scripture, turning over Scripture, it's a law gospel issue. Now, what we talked about last week, and we still need to define the terms, but is the first step, even before dividing the terms, is not to oppose them to each other. And if you haven't, if you're coming right now into this episode, you do need to listen to last week's episode to catch up. But we are not permitted at any time in Scripture to oppose the law to the gospel. The law, in fact, is always in service of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. And both are words of God.
Yep.
And the Word of God. I would argue, you brought it in as a one hermeneutical option. I don't know if you said this, maybe I wasn't paying attention or whatever.
Which would be the norm.
It wouldn't be unusual. I tend to think of it not in a way of understanding the Word, but understanding that that's the way that God speaks. Yep. Those are two very different things. It's not something that we impose upon the Word to try and make sense of it. That's a hermeneutical approach, right? You know, this is one paradigm or something that we can apply to the text. That's not what it is. The Lutheran would not say that anyway. The Lutheran would say, this is the way that God has chosen to speak. Both are words of God and the Word of God. Both, you know, as individual words, all being inspired by Him, but also the entirety of it, plenary inspiration of God's Word as well. And I think that that's important. And when you understand that that is how God speaks, this concept makes so much sense of those challenging passages in Scripture. You know, for instance, where you're hearing something that sounds like a command, you know, that you need to do to be saved, but like really it's a law statement.
The rich young ruler.
Yeah, demonstrating a conviction of sin.
Yeah, sell everything you have and come follow me.
Yeah, and Jesus was making a, is this the right way to say, rhetorical point? You know, he was making a point of, you know, understand, this is how God, this is God's expectation. You failed. Once you've recognized that, then come to me. You know, he wasn't providing a second way of salvation for the rich young ruler.
And to your point, there are some traditions that misunderstand this distinction, where they confess that if God gives us a law, it comes with the implication that we can fulfill the law. They deny that God would require anything from us that we're incapable of doing. There's Christian traditions.
Yeah.
Well, that's their hermeneutic.
Yeah. Brett, can I read some today?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Do we want to define what the law and the gospel are?
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to do right now?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So yep. I think this is paragraph 12 of the, now this is in the solid declaration of the formula. For those of you who are listening, don't understand. It's kind of like the apology, you know, where you have two parts, you have kind of a shorter condensed version, and then you have a longer explanation. This is the longer explanation, paragraph 12. Everything that proclaims something about our sin and God's wrath is the proclamation of the law, however and whenever it may take place. So that definition of the law, what do you think? Go.
I think it's great because it's not just the doing. It's the condemnation for failing to do is the point of the law. The primary focus of the law is to convict us of sin, is to put an end to ourselves. That's what the law is doing. The law kills. Mm-hmm. And so the law's job is to make you feel bad. It's kind of like you should feel bad.
So that every mouth may be stopped.
Yep, and every soul held accountable before God, right? And so it's not just that God says, go love your neighbor. He says that. Mm-hmm. But in saying, go love your neighbor, what he's really saying is you haven't, and you don't, and you won't. And it's bringing us to the point where we stop relying on ourselves to be pleasing before God. That's the point of the law.
Mm-hmm. Paragraph 17.
Yeah.
We therefore unanimously believe, teach, and confess that in its strict sense, the law is a divine teaching in which the righteous, unchanging will of God revealed how human beings were created in their nature, thoughts, words, and deeds to be pleasing and acceptable to God. This law also threatens those who transgress it with God's wrath and temporal and eternal punishments. What do you think of that?
I think
it's gotta be some commentary there.
I think it's a little bit off.
Okay.
you remember that when
you don't like it, no. Jason?
Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect, right?
What do you mean? What does he mean by that? When we were created in our nature, thoughts, words, and deeds to be pleasing and acceptable to God, so that he revealed in the unchanging will of God, the righteous, unchanging will of God revealed how human beings were created in their nature, thoughts, words, and deeds to be pleasing and acceptable. What does that tell us about the law?
Well, it what it does, and it does the good work of reminding us that first and foremost, the law is a reflection of God's character and God's will. I think a lot of Christian traditions, this isn't just some, like, I'll pick on, this isn't a GAC thing. I think this is a lot of Christian traditions have this conception of the law as sort of an arbitrary grading method that yeah. God gives.
And I think we get that from things in the Old Testament, like rules regarding shellfish.
Yeah.
And how
don't
many
boil a goat in its mother's
yeah,
milk.
Yeah, and how many of those things. And so it feels arbitrary, which honestly, I still don't believe if you actually do the historical research on that. I don't think it's that arbitrary. I think it's there are some things, there are some reasons for that. But at the end of the day, we're talking about, you know, the Ten Commandments, the moral will of God in these things. And we keep going, Jason. You were talking about how, you know, we tend to think of them as arbitrary, but
yeah, well, and we think of like a worksheet in junior high as busy work, but it's because the teacher really needed to be able to give you a 47 out of 50 to evaluate where you stood in the class. Mm-hmm. That's how we handle the law. But I've always thought the most important verse for understanding the nature of the law is Leviticus 19:2. And that says, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And God is holy. God wants us to be holy like he is holy. And therefore, God gave us the law. And so in my catechetical material, one of the first things I teach when I teach the law section of the catechism is that the Ten Commandments tell us way more about who God is than about who we are.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to remember. I tell them the same thing when I was teaching, you know, confirmation, is that the law of God is God's will, okay, which you could argue then is just arbitrary will. It's not. It's God's will, but it's also the revelation of himself. It's who he is. And the reason that he gives us this way to live is because, and I say this to the students, it's the best way. God's law, his will for our life is the way things work best. And we spend hours of our time, we spend the bandwidth of the internet trying to argue against this and prove how our way is better. We know more. We worship the creature rather than the creator. And the reality is he knows what way this is going to work best. He gives it to us, and yet at the same time we're incapable of keeping it.
And it's a lot of people like, why does God say don't murder? And maybe we'd be able to answer because it's wrong. But it changes how we are pro-life when we understand that in forbidding murder, God himself is pro-life, mm-hmm. that God loves life. And you start to think about the commandments on a deeper level than just, okay, why does God want us to keep the Sabbath holy? It's not so that we can watch football on Sunday and not do anything. It's that there's something fundamentally important about him resting that he wants for us. And when you get to that level of the commandments, it really helps you understand the law from a more directed and intentional perspective.
So the gospel, Brett, listen, because I'm going to start asking questions now, because this is your 400th episode. This is not about me. This is about you guys.
Wait, Brett, have you ever not been on an episode? I think you've been more consistent than even I have been, right?
No, I think I have not. There's been times where I remember one episode you're like, sans bow.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. Never mind then. All right. Adam,
whatever.
Gospel.
All right. The gospel. For everything that provides comfort, everything that offers the favor and grace of God to those who have transgressed the law is called the gospel in the strict sense. It is good news, joyous news, that God does not want to punish sin, but to forgive it for Christ's sake.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, last word.
It's hard to.
What are you going to say to that?
I was going to say, I can't really add to that.
But I like to say this to my students is just to think about everything that provides comfort. If it is a word of comfort, you know, if it is a word of Christ has done this for you, it's gospel. And what I find to be interesting is that I find students, and I think, and I mean students not just in the college where I teach, but also confirmation students, things like that, students of the word, who really like to hear at the GAC, you know, I'll use that, because this is my interpretation of the GAC. It's this idea of this, I want to go to church to be convicted.
Yeah.
And you talk about, I want to go out. I want something to do for the week.
Do more, and, be better, and, try harder.
And it is that particular sentiment that makes me want to leave church and vomit. I want to hear, I know what I need to do. The law is actually written on our hearts. It's there for us.
And it's pretty clear.
It's clear. And it's also clear how I've broken it so many times. But to hear the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ our Lord, that he has, you know, that he has given to those who have transgressed the law, that it's not just something that, oh, sorry, you could have had this, but it's you get this because you've broken the law. And that is the good news, joyous news, that God doesn't want to punish sin, but gives us forgiveness. He wants to forgive it for Christ's sake. Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
There's one other thing in here, guys, and I know that we've gone long.
I thought that was your drop in the mic.
No. No, we're going to go on to a Bible study. No, they can listen longer. If they've listened 400 episodes, they'll give us another 5 minutes, all right? That's my estimation.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go.
This is the thing that struck me, too, and we didn't say this last episode, but we're talking about the distinction between the two and keeping them separate. If you just have the law, this is why the gospel is so beautiful. It says, for since the proclamation of the law alone without Christ either makes presumptuous people who believe that they can fill the law with their outward works, or it drives people into total despair. Because of that, Christ took the law into his own hands and interpreted it spiritually and gave us the gospel. And that is the part for me that is it really struck out to me. It's either presumptuous people like, I guess I got this, I'm pretty good, which is really to break the law down into bite-sized chunks that we think that we can somehow manage and keep. Or it did what you did for you and I, Jason. And this is where this is why that phrase is why this article is so meaningful to me, is because that whole idea, or it drives you to despair.
Yep.
I literally remember, and I've shared this with my students, my kids know this, so I don't mind sharing this. I literally remember the day I wanted to go and commit suicide because I knew that God had a law that I couldn't keep. And it is so beautiful then that God in his mercy in that moment did not allow such a thing to happen. But then he revealed that to me. It's like, yeah, that's what the law does. It brings us to despair, but it serves the gospel by bringing the good news of Jesus to be that much more beautiful, that God wants to forgive our sins. Not, he doesn't want to punish it, but he forgives it for Christ's sake. That is a powerful message and something we cannot forget.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on Article 5 of the Formula of Concord, looking at an Old Testament passage and its application. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.